Now we go to the third section of our presentation, and it's the second reading, Galatians 3, 6 to 29, which is remarkable how this fellow, Paul, what a mystic. I mean, he knows all this. You know, he didn't read St. Paul. He had to write it, you know? And it's amazing. So, brothers and sisters, now they put that in all the time to introduce the reading. It's not in the text, but you know that. Through faith, you are all children of God in Christ Jesus. Think about that. Do you know how much the Father loves Jesus? And we're in Him. So He loves us like He loves Jesus. Isn't that something? And we're children of God. And He's going to go on to say, you see, or maybe not in this text, no, this is all about our unity. But if we're children, we're heirs. Well, you don't get the inheritance until He dies. No, no, no. And this inheritance, we get it when we die. And we start already here. And so the text says, brothers and sisters, Pantes God, Higite Ueste, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean? How do we get to be children of God through faith in Christ Jesus? So what is faith? You see where this is taking us? And this Galatians letter is a sort of a first draft of Romans. And so we have the justification by faith and all those notions. Here, it turns out that he sketched them all out here, and then he realized he had to write a letter to Rome because they were having fights there between the pagans who became Christian and the Jews who became Christian, because the Jews felt they had a sort of one leg up because they already knew about God and knew about the law, and they did. But in Christ, we're all the same. What makes for status in Christ? Humility and love. The most humble and the most loving, that's the biggest big shot in heaven and in the body. So who's that? Mary. So that's the biggest big shot. The rest of us are little shots. Okay. So, you are all children of God through the faith, literally, in Christ Jesus. Okay? Diatis pisteos. Isn't that amazing that if we will yield to the work of the Spirit and believe in Christ Jesus, we're children of God. That means we're heirs. Everything God owns, I own. Isn't that awesome? We have His life. You see? It ought to be that somebody looking at us could say, well, I get an idea of what your Father's like when I see the way you operate. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? If we looked like our Father, we had a family resemblance to our Father. And, of course, Hoteos agapi estin, God is love. Whoever are baptized into Christ, well, they do have it into, good, has put on Christ. You know, that's a song for baptism during Easter, in the Eastern Rite. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Alleluia. My voice is not actually equal to it, but as many as who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's what he says here, you see. Clothe yourself with Christ is the way he puts it here. Is Christon e baptistete endistaste. You have put on Christ. You wear Christ. Not like my coat I can take off. The only way I can take off Christ is a sin. Seriously. Otherwise, I'm clothed with Christ. Isn't that beautiful? See how Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is trying to mediate to us what happens at baptism. You know, Origen tells the story. I think his father's name was Leoncius, if I remember correctly. And he said, they tell me that when I was a little child and baptized, my father would pick me up as a little baby and kiss me on the chest, on the heart, saying, at least we know the Holy Spirit is here. Isn't that beautiful? And then Leoncius was actually martyred. And Origen was a teenager, wanted to be with him. So he went out of the house. He was going out of the house with his dad to go get martyred. And his mother hid his clothes, so he couldn't get out of the house. You think, if you're going to go get martyred, what do you care? You know, but evidently, he cared, or got the picture that his mom said, you got to stay home and raise this family. So he did, and he taught catechetics from an early age in Alexandria, and then he founded a school in Antioch. So anyway, that's Origen. But do you see how alive the faith in baptism was in the early church? That this man would pick up his baby son and kiss him on the chest, saying, at least we know the Holy Spirit is here. Like a tabernacle. So that's what he's saying here, you see. You put on Christ. You're clothed with him. You know, that means, I recognize that jacket. That's Francis's jacket. You see, that's Christ. And so, so from now on, there's no longer Jew and Greek, nor slave, nor free. There's not even male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, what does he mean by that? He means all the social arrangements that go by whether you are a Jew or a Greek, whether you're a slave or a free, whether you're a male or a female. No. The feminists, you know, have a good point there. But a female has to be a female and not just a truncated male. We have different roles in the body, different roles in the human race. Totally equal. And yet, our idea is power. Unless we ordain women, we won't have power. Well, what are we going to do about Our Lady? I mean, she runs the whole church. She's the queen of the whole church. And she's not a priest. I pray to her every day to help me. And I don't say, you know, I know you're not a priest, but I still... No, I don't. Anyway, we don't want to get on that topic right now, do we? See, those are baptized is Christon, into Christ. We become one with him. We're part of him. And that, as I've already pointed out a little earlier in this session, there are places in Paul where he calls the church Christ. Thus, as a body has many members, and all the members make up one body, so it is with the Christ. Now, you can't possibly mean that Jesus has hands and feet, because everybody knows that. He means the Christ is the church. Or in the Corinthians again, he says, look at your argument. I'm for Paul, I'm for Apollos, I'm for Peter, I'm for... And he says, is Christ divided? I mean, no. That's what baptism does, you see. I think it's Leo who said, baptism bakes the bread. We take the dough and we pour in water, we make a big loaf, and we put it in the oven, and it comes out one loaf of bread, one body of Christ. Well, I'm the crust. That's okay. You see? It doesn't, I want to be the middle, you know. I want to be the one that gets the jelly or whatever. But that's enough of that comparison. You get the idea. See, there is no male and female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Does that mean that the Greeks are not Greeks anymore, or the Hebrews are not Hebrews or Jews anymore? Well, the men aren't men and the women aren't women? No. It means that those things that characterize this age have no basis. I mean, just look at it. Who are the best Christians, the big shots in the church? The saints, right? I mean, when I die, you know, I'm going to go around. I'm a priest. I'm glad to get in. But where are the big shots? The saints. And are most of them women? It's a good chance. Okay, you get the idea, all right? See, so you are all east in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, if you are Christ's, he says here, then you are Abraham's descendant, heirs according to the promise. So, as it's said over and over again, you know, spiritually we're all Semites, we're all Jews. Why? Because we're children of Abraham. And now you see, Paul builds a lot on Abraham. Romans 4 is all about Abraham. God promised this man, who was childless, off in an obscure corner of the world, you follow me, Lech Lecha, and I will make you from you leave your home, your clan, your nation, and come follow me. Be a nomad of faith, and I will make you a great nation. Everybody will bless themselves by saying, may you be as blessed as Abraham. And we still do it. We are children of Abraham. And that's why, you know, one day maybe we'll move the church back to Jerusalem and start all over again. But anyway, we're children of Abraham. And it says then, you see, and then, you see, if you are Abraham's descendant, heirs according to the promise. What was the promise? I will make of you a great nation, and everybody will bless themselves in your name. May you be as blessed as Abraham. And we're part of that. We're part of that. God's promises are not, he doesn't get overexcited, you know, and sort of say things and not come through. Never. Famous part there in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, I think. Yes. God comes and says, be of good cheer, Abraham, your reward will be very great. And Abraham is getting tired of waiting for his son. Now, there was a law that if a man dies childless, his foreman takes over. So he said, yes, I understand. It's going to be my foreman here. And what does God say? Not that one. Come out here with me. He brings him outside and he says, see those stars? Count them. If you could count those stars, you still couldn't count your descendants. It's a promise to Abraham. It's a promise of salvation. Why are we all blessed in Abraham? Because one of the sons of Abraham is God. And he died for us and set us free and poured out the Holy Spirit. And that's why spiritually we're all Semites. And that's the promise made to Abraham. How it survived, you know, we guess it was about 1700 BC, 1760, around in there, when this happened. And the Jews knew it was going to happen, but they waited and waited and waited through sin and punishment and exile and return. And finally, he's here. So that's what Paul is telling us.